This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 279 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com and freshly returned from Apple Hell, Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. How are you?
Hi, Bruce. For God's sake, he was there a second there. Hey, bloody technology, I hate you. It's driving me up the damn bloody wall. I've had enough. Oh, hi, Bruce. I can hear you now.
How you been?
Sorry. G'day, Bruce. How are you? Yeah, it's good to be back.
Mate, 3 weeks. That's epic.
Do you want to hear the saga?
Oh, why not?
So, if we remember back to episode one of this saga, my daughter changed, my seven-year-old lovely, gorgeous daughter, little brat, changed the password on her iPad at school and promptly forgot it.
Yep.
Set number two, connect iPad to computer to erase the whole thing because you can't simply request a new password.
Yep.
Can't erase iPad to restore it because on iPad is Find My iPad app in case it gets lost.
Right.
Go onto website. Clear iPad. Connect iPad to computer. iPad says, I now need the latest iOS. You now get the latest iOS for iPad. You now connect iPad to computer to restore it. Oh no, you now need latest iTunes to go with latest iOS for iPad. Go to install new iTunes for computer. It says, oh no, you can't update the latest iTunes without upgrading your iOS for your computer. 5.6 gigabit of data download just for the iOS.
Yeah.
And on restart, it corrupts the directory of the computer.
Oh.
Which takes 2 weeks of hard-earned manually dragging files from all sorts of corrupted directories by the lovely guys at Techville and Yarraville in Melbourne. If you desperately need computer stuff, these are the guys to go to. Hundreds of dollars and epic amount of work. They then say, well, of course, now you need to re-download every app that you had.
Oh.
Photoshop, Lightroom, Keynote. Honestly, so I spent the best part of a week downloading. So, and until, as you just saw a few minutes ago, Bruce knows, I hadn't remembered to download Skype, so I just tried to do that. But then the saga, like Star Wars, the saga continues, Bruce.
Yeah.
Because yesterday or last night I had a talk at a camera club to do.
Right.
And so I've got my freshly minted new Keynote. I'll open up my presentation, maybe add a few new images to it.
Hmm.
Opening up the image and the presentation, 3/4 of the image disappears.
Why?
Just corrupted.
Oh, geez.
Go and get a backup one off USB key. Corrupts it automatically.
Oh.
Get one off Dropbox. Corrupts it automatically. Oh. Open up every presentation for my entire business. Every single one's corrupted.
Oh.
By some problem between Keynote and the new operating system for the bloody computer.
Ouch.
So yesterday, a joy of joys, from dropping the kids off at 8:30 in the morning until leaving the door last night, I had to rebuild the entire presentation, 160 Keynote slide presentation.
Oh.
From scratch. Literally, I was saving the presentation as I was going out the door.
That's nasty.
So I've got to rebuild every single presentation, which I'd only just finished rebuilding to get a new style and new look. I just finished them a couple of months ago.
Oh. Yeah. Ouch.
Oh, my dad. But listeners will be glad to know.
Yeah.
I got an iPad working a couple of weeks ago, even before it was still at the shop. Turns out I didn't actually need, and no one at Apple could tell me this, I didn't actually need to connect it to the computer in the first place to get access to download. I got a Wi-Fi downloaded everything and restored from the cloud and blah, blah, blah. Information that would have been handy yesterday. So I still have no – I open up Photoshop and it doesn't recognize any color profiles anymore.
Oh.
I still have no idea what other corruption's going on. So
you've almost convinced me about how good the Apple ecosystem is.
Yeah, and then one wise old listener during the week said, oh, but you can't just Skype on your phone.
Yeah.
Well, as we tried, as soon as I enter my password into the Skype on the phone, it just crashes the app every I have had the IT week for weeks.
3 weeks.
Hell. And my daughter looks at me with her little glowing blue eyes like, I don't understand any of this, Daddy, as I've got my little hand around her neck and shaking her. Stand. What's this corrupt thing you talk of?
That's so, just wrong.
Yeah, technology and me, not friends at the mo.
No, I can imagine.
Well.
So all that aside, what have you been up to for the last 3 weeks?
That.
Right. It must have played havoc with you running your workshops.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was ending up shooting.
Did you, shooting texture on a whiteboard or something?
I had my desktop is at my studio. My MacBook.
Okay, yep.
At studio, and that runs the presentations too.
Right.
But not to when I'm going into clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I'm shooting, I have no editing capabilities for 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
So I'm shooting and then Wi-Fiing all the images to my phone and editing on my phone.
Oh, jeez.
The advantage of being able to shoot and get the images pretty much the way you want straight out of camera means it doesn't need an awful lot of editing on the camera, which means it's doable.
Yep.
But, man.
Yeah.
What crazy, 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 crazy couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I've run a couple of workshops. I had to judge a photo competition, and you know how fond I am of that.
Yeah.
For the camera club I was talking at last night, I had to judge their A and B categories of prints and their A and B categories for projected images.
Right. And?
Well, you know, what do you say, you know? You know, say if you haven't got something good to say about it,
don't say anything.
But I said to them last night, I got up and I was doing my talk and I said, look, you know, who the hell am I to tell you what's right or wrong?
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't win, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean I'm right. And in fact, the winner of the print of the year, it almost shouldn't have won. Yeah. The moment the guy captured. Everything about the shot was it. So what is this? This photograph of somebody in the Himalayas or something, some great looking character with all those autumn colored leaves behind, all lovely out of focus, in beautiful light, with a big eagle on his hand.
Right.
So, you know, character face, the whole thing. It all, the mood and tone of the shot is fabulous. Everything about it just feels great.
Right.
The textures and on the leather outfit, the guys, everything about it's great. Except it looks like he's halfway through saying a word.
Right.
Being distracted and he's just saying something to someone.
Yeah.
And it just, the moment was wrong. It just wasn't, it wasn't the decisive moment for the shot.
Right.
And so 90% of the image is fantastic, but the emotive connected human face that we want to connect with is all wrong. All I want to know is what's he saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, there's no wistful look off into the distance. There's no... no strength or in his countenance. It's just, but it was the best of the bunch.
Yeah, right.
And as I said, most of it was going in its favour except for that, you know. But who's to say I'm right?
What he was saying is, God damn, this eagle's chewing up my arm.
So it's really hard. And I said, just because I've done this for a long time doesn't mean I've any credence when it comes to, in fact, I started my presentation a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, my presentations, of course, normally always start with someone introducing me saying, you know, the words awesome, incredible, and fantastic are rarely mentioned when it comes to our next speaker. usually how I start off.
Yeah.
But I've started off, and the slide says, everything you've ever been told about images, including everything I say tonight,
is wrong. Is
possibly wrong. Yeah, it's just someone's opinion, and like a-holes, everybody's got one. Yeah, and so glean from the bits that resonate with you and ignore everything else, you know?
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I talked to the camera club last night, and that was kind of a bit of fun. You know, I always like doing that. Had to go straight from there to a shoot.
Right.
Just finished talking at like 20 to 10 at night. Had to drive in the city, do a photo shoot. For this ongoing project for this company. I'm flying off in the morning to do a shoot in Adelaide tomorrow.
Why are you having to shoot so late at night?
The thing I'm shooting can't be done during the day because of how the light refracts off it.
Right.
So I need no light to be able to capture the mood and moment. Yeah, no reflected light from skies and stuff. And so I'm off to Adelaide tomorrow to do another day for them, and then next week it's Gold Coast during the morning. Drive up to Brisbane, catch a plane to Cairns, shoot in the morning, and then fly home again. And it's done, thank goodness.
Wow,
it's mind-numbing photo shoots you've ever.
Fantastic,
and they're all kind of the same,
right?
It's not like I'm doing anything different. I'm flying to another location to shoot pretty much the same thing,
right?
Some very marginal, boring variations. They're flying to the next spot and doing the same thing. The other day it was 40 degrees in Brisbane.
Oh,
and 40 degrees of massive humidity ain't my friend.
No,
I'm not looking forward to next week too much at all.
Yeah, right.
Give me minus 40 any day. So, and the rest of the time I've been working on trying to make my mind up on the renovations we're doing around the house.
Oh, okay.
Have
they started?
No. Well, no.
Right.
Yeah, we met with the kitchen people today and trying to make a decision about colours. It's just a nightmare.
They haven't started because Glyn took the guy's hammer to use on his computer.
Well, that can't install till mid-Feb anyway.
Right.
He was just too busy. And everything's won't get stubby. You've got to start making choices and stuff. So I'm still racking my brain around that. I had one special little moment during the week this week, though, when I was picking my three-year-old up from childcare, and the lady who runs it said, "Look, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Would you be our Santa at this year's Christmas party?" So what, you pick the oldest looking, fattest looking bloke you can find, is that it? She goes, no, you're just so lovely with the kids. I said, "Sure, it's the gut, isn't it?" She goes, "Well, it's a bit of that. Last year's Santa was too skinny, it just looked silly." Right. So I'm going to be Santa. So at the end of this month, November 30th, me and my mate Dave Oakley were photographing pets with Santa.
Right.
Then the following weekend, I'm Santa himself.
Right.
Like the promotion you'd think in a week.
Excellent.
Now, before we go on to our weekly stuff, because we've got to keep it a bit short tonight because we're recording late and I've got to fly out early.
Yes.
But we have become an internet sensation.
We have?
Internet sensations, you and me, Bruce.
Really?
And you know what? You know the old saying, absence makes the farts go fonder? No, absence makes the farts grow fonder.
Yeah.
These couple of weeks we've been offline, it has just shown people just how much we mean in their lives. You know, people like, you know, the lovely Robert Coates.
Yep.
He quotes on Facebook, "Speaking of hats," which is slightly off topic, "speaking of hats, maybe we should pass one around to start a collection for Glyn to be able to buy a computer that works." Yeah, funny one, Robert. It's the last bit. "I never thought I'd say this, but I'm missing the podcast."
Yeah. I saw that.
It is. You know, that's, you want that on a plaque on the wall. Yeah. You know? And then our lovely Milena, Michelle's sister, pops up and she goes, "Yeah, I've got the same feeling. I just discovered I'm addicted to something, our podcast." You know, the word sensation does get bandied around just a little bit too easily these days, but I reckon we're on the cusp of nothing else.
On the cusp.
We're on the cusp of greatness.
Excellent.
Not only that.
Yeah.
In the last week, our Facebook page had a 100% increase in likes over the previous week. 100% increase. If we keep offline long enough, we're going to be really popular. Staying offline is increasing our profile.
Excellent.
You had one new like last week.
Two this week.
100% increase.
Oh, dear.
So anyway, what have you been up to?
Well, I was meant to be doing a shoot last weekend.
Right, it was a couple of weekends ago and you had to put it off and you were supposed to do it again last week.
Yeah, so it was meant to happen on Sunday just gone, which is 2 days ago. This was with this mate of mine, Nick, here in Sydney, who bought himself the Alpha 7S. So I'm really keen to hook up with him and have a play with the A7S.
So what's his excuse?
So I organised this photo shoot for Sunday, and I got permission from work to use the swimming pool on the roof of our building.
Nice.
Right, we have a rooftop pool.
Obviously.
So I thought...
Because you had permission to use the pool rooftop, you don't have a pool up there. It's kind of a moot point that I don't really use it.
That's right.
Yeah, of course you can, Bruce. We haven't gone up there, but you're welcome to go use it.
Just bring your own pool.
It's the inflatable.
So I thought I had a model organized and she flaked.
Oh, yeah. So you had a normal model.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it was like all these mad messages sent out on Model Mayhem last thing on Saturday night looking for a model who might be interested in, you know, doing a swimsuit shoot on the Sunday, you know, and just assuming, of course, that they had nothing already planned for the following day because, you know, when you're only 12 hours out, you're sort of cutting it fine. And, yeah, couldn't find anyone who wanted to be part of it, so ended up having to postpone it. So, yeah. But I did, in preparation for that shoot, I did sit down and clean all my camera gear.
Well, there's always that.
So I've done something photographically in the last 3 weeks. Anyway.
So we've got anything to talk about tonight? We've got any tidbits of wisdom that someone couldn't have just Googled and...
None of that.
I noticed that all the stuff you've got on your list is all stuff other people put up. What have you been researching?
No. The stuff from me is the two links at the end.
Oh, you did something. That's okay.
And then there's the comment from Mark Loader, which came in via the web.
I know. I love that. Let's talk about that one, because it starts off saying manly men.
And hey, manly men. Heard of an awesome book.
So which podcast are you
listening to? Yeah, exactly.
You emailed the wrong people.
Heard of an awesome book recently and bought the thing. It's by Dan Winters, and it's called Road to Seeing.
And it's bloody brilliant.
It's a must own. Zilch on gear, next to nada on technique. This is all heart and mind stuff. Yep. The book of whys, not hows. Strobist calls it a mentorship. In fact, look up his review. Don't just take my word.
No, I agree. It's a brilliant book. When it first came out, it sold out in literally like a day.
Sorry, Mark. I was trying to read it all, but somebody rudely interrupted me.
Yeah, but there's nothing else to talk about. It wasn't bought mine. There was a kid that knew all about it first.
Anyway, tell us about the book.
Sold out. There we go. First shipment sold out.
Tell us about the book, Glenn.
Anyway, I hope you can find it. I hope you're all still chewing barbed wire. That's not very nice. Spitting napalm and not having time to bleed. That's lovely, isn't it? Charming.
So you've got the book?
It's a phenomenal book.
You have it?
No.
Right.
But everyone who I have any faith in this world in photography rave about it. It's brilliant. Yeah.
So has it been out for long?
Had so much hype about it before it came out. Literally, the entire first shipment was sold out before it was released.
Right. Has it been on the market for long?
Oh, it's got to be 8 months, I'm thinking, maybe a bit more.
Oh, okay. So it's only recent. It's
reasonably recent, yeah. And, right. It's a big, big, big book and pretty heavy. Yeah. And so I think it's like 50 or 60 or 70 bucks, or it could be 90 bucks, I can't remember.
Okay.
But yeah, it's certainly if you like to sit by a fire with a nice whiskey and a cigar and really feel your photography, this is the book for you.
Right.
Yeah. It's a really windy day, you can hold down a lot of papers too because it's heavy.
Excellent.
No, it's up there with all the great, feel the heart and soul of what makes photos work, as opposed to the I took it at 2.8 because I like the bokeh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so definitely Mark Loader is spot on.
Cool. Well, thank you, Mark, for the tip
and the manly men bit.
Yes, I'll put the link to the Strobist review of that book in the show notes for those that want to have a look. Amongst all of the stuff that Adam sent us over the last 3 weeks.
He's been going on, hasn't he?
Hey?
He's been going on. He's been spamming us.
The one that I like the most, and it was not the Sony story, much to your surprise.
Yeah.
Was the story about the young 9-year-old Spanish boy who picked up the 2014 Natural History Museum BBC Wildlife Photographer of the Year Youth Division. Now, what I thought was interesting about this, right? Now, okay, I'm guessing that the curators of this type of event probably, well, I don't know. I was going to say go easy on the younger photographers because they don't have the wealth of experience that adult photographers have. But, I mean, having said that, I mean, the kids' images are bloody good images. But what I liked about this whole story was that this kid's shooting on a Nikon D300. And that is...
Oh, that's just a terrible camera.
Why? Because it's a Nikon?
No, that's a seriously good camera. What do you mean he's only shooting on a D300?
Well, my point is that that is, what, a 9-year-old camera now?
I don't know how old it is, but it was a seriously good camera that came out. Who cares how old it is?
Absolutely. And that is exactly my point, is that, you know, we are so often, if not ourselves, then this good mate of mine who's into photography, always lusting after the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
And it's really not necessarily what you need.
He's good, isn't he? I'm just looking at the photos now.
Yeah, they're beautiful images.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't take a photo, it doesn't matter what camera you've got.
And if you can take a photo, it probably...
Doesn't matter what camera you've got.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's nice and even.
And that's what I liked about the story, the fact that he's shooting with this camera that's, you know, it must be 8-9 years old now, at least. Because I'm thinking my first trip to the US for Linda was 2006, and that was the time that Shelton got his D300. So
he had a D700.
Yeah, but he had a 300 before that, I'm sure. No?
He was using a Fuji S5 Pro before that.
Okay, must have been somebody else. There was someone I knew was shooting with a D300. Anyway, my point is...
You've got a point.
Like I said, just this body that old, and it is still capable of making great images.
But what's age got to do with it?
Well, my point is that people are always going, oh, I've got to get the latest and greatest. And I'm saying you don't.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, move on.
It was announced in 2009, the D300S, so that was 2009, so it must have been before that. It was discontinued on September 11, 2009, the D300.
Yeah, right. So when was it introduced?
I'm getting there. I'm going backwards in history here, dude. It's a time machine. You've got to go past the old dates to get to the new ones first.
Was officially.
I want to guess 2007.
Was released July 30, 2009. That can't be right.
No.
Oh, no, that's the S. That's the S version. Right.
I said the same.
Yeah.
Announced on 23rd of August 2007, which means it would have been out about September 2007.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a 7-year-old camera.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. Okay.
You know, you go and pick up a 50-year-old Hasselblad, it'll still take a decent photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, age will not weary them.
That's right.
But yeah, it's this lust for new technology doesn't.
It's not the be all and end all.
It's the nothing. It's just the it's the want society we live in. You know.
Yeah.
It's just the way we're conditioned to always want the latest and greatest and the best. And I know that feeling. I'm not spending the amount of money I'm spending on renovations because it's necessary.
No.
You know, I have a perfectly functional kitchen.
Yeah.
I just don't want a perfectly fine. I want a really nice one.
Yeah.
Like, I'll spend $30,000 to make myself feel good. You know? It's just,
But that's a lifestyle thing.
Yeah, I know. It's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
Well, you said, but it's a want society. We want this stuff. We just don't need them.
Yeah. Exactly.
I guarantee this. My meals will taste the same in the new kitchen.
That's right.
My fancy new cooktop. I got a deal on the cooktop.
You did?
$3,400 cooktop.
Yeah.
Right? Down to $1,300.
Nice.
And when I got home, found out there was a redemption offer to get a $500 set of saucepans with it as well.
Sweet.
Bargain.
So you paid $800 for your cooktop.
Effectively, because I needed to buy the saucepans anyway. So
nice.
And three quarters.
So. Did you get induction?
Yeah.
Nice. Love induction cooktops. Absolutely love them.
You're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. It's like going to full frame camera. It's a
what?
Crop sensor. Yeah. I had to get the big one because it looked fancier.
All right.
Yeah.
Dear.
It's only coming a mile away, I reckon.
Right.
So what else you got?
The Sony sensor that Adam linked to, just a leaked prototype at this point. Interesting. They're calling it an APCS, not to be confused with an APS-C. Where this thing has only, I say only, 4.8 megapixel resolution, which initially sounds very small. But what's an interesting thing about the design of this particular sensor is that each pixel sight on the sensor is capable of registering all three color channels. So it's essentially the equivalent of a 14.5 megapixel sensor, except you don't need 4 pixel sites to capture your 3 colors like you do on a conventional CMOS sensor. Make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So very interesting. It'd be interesting to see whether they get it to market.
Or what its intended use is versus, you know, it's not necessarily for photo.
Yeah. The leaked specs also suggest that it is capable of shooting 2K video at 16,000 frames per second.
Oh, wow. But I'm at 17,000, Bruce.
Yeah, of course.
It's like my wife. Yeah, we're shopping for front doors at the moment with panels in them.
Yeah.
Everyone makes a 6 or an 8. She wants a 7. It's like...
Does she know that 7's a prime number?
She's been sending me out looking for maybe 7 panel doing my head in. I think she's just doing it just to play with my head.
I think so.
That's amazing. 16,000 frames a second. Imagine the slow-mo photography you could do with that.
Be amazing.
Videography.
Be absolutely cool amazing.
Cool stuff.
Look, there's a heap of other stuff here. We might just have to sit on it for a week. What did you want to get through tonight?
Oh, I can get past that. Oh, there's a link on there about that infographic put up about, what's the most likely gear to get stolen and where it's most likely to get stolen from.
You know what I loved about that infographic?
What's that?
There's no mention of Sony anywhere on it.
People pick it up and they go, oh, it's just a Sony. I'll get nothing for that at the hawk shop. That's for the back. No point getting caught for that.
Yeah.
There's the thing, the ultimate selfie I love.
Right.
This guy's come out with this rig for pinhole selfies.
Okay.
And he's got this rig that sort of holds this camera in front of his face, this pinhole camera, and he's got to make all these people to photograph himself. And they're classic. They're just fabulous.
It looks like he's been doing naughty things with a Meccano set.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like, weird.
What the?
Now, there's another thing, another item, an organization called Help Portrait.
Right.
Helpportrait.com, which is a charity portrait day on December the 6th where photographers and makeup artists and hair people donate their day and time to provide a photograph to somebody.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a website there. You can sign up to be a team leader or be part of a team and all that kind of stuff. I'll be there except I'm being Santa that day.
Right.
And I'd already agreed to that before I saw this. But if anyone's sort of interested in doing something a bit philanthropic with their photography, it's an American-based organization, so I don't know how much stuff's been done in Australia, but it doesn't mean you can't sit up and do it yourself.
Okay.
So it's something people may want to look into.
Yeah, right.
I said the day's December the 6th, so you want to sort of...
Yeah, which is a Saturday.
Yeah, so you might want to sort of speed it up if you're going to be involved in it.
Yeah.
Knowing how I like to exhaustively research everything before I get involved and talk about it on the podcast, somewhere, someone this week sort of announced, it could be one or the other or both, a flash gun that's dedicated for both Canon and Nikon at the same time.
Okay, how?
Extra pins on the bottom of the flash.
Oh, okay.
It's wired up to be dedicated for both.
Yeah, right.
I don't know which brand it is or what the model's called or how powerful it is or if it's coming out or when it's coming out or if it's already out.
Sounds like something that Yong Nuo would do.
Does sound like that. you'd almost think. There's another strange name company that, but yeah, it's if you want to half, if you've got a Canon and a Nikon,
yeah.
Sounds very convenient.
Yeah.
Look up that company that released it.
Yeah, right. Did you send me the link for it or not?
Well, there's no link because I can't remember who announced it. I saw it early in the week and didn't capture it and I can't remember.
Okay.
So somewhere someone's got it.
Now, and you've sent me a link to a very weird black and white image on National Geographic.
And it says the image that's given me goosebumps this week. Yeah, this is... I sat and stared at this photo for ages this week.
Right.
And it said the whole time I was in chills and they were multiplying. I got chills, they're multiplying, and I'm losing control.
Why?
It's the photographs on the comet in space.
Right.
This is the man has landed a lander, a rover, onto a comet.
That's 4 kilometres long.
Yeah. Yep. 3.5 billion kilometres from Earth.
Wow.
traveling at 16,000 kilometers a second.
Whoa.
We've flown this thing for 10, this spaceship for 10 years. It's been heading towards it.
Wow.
Got there, and the module, the lander module, disconnected and flew down and landed on a comet.
That is insane technology. Most
phenomenal, remarkable feat. It's akin to man landing on the moon. It's that sort of life-changing, amazing.
Way more than that.
So much stuff went wrong on the thing, and unfortunately, when it landed, it bounced. It was supposed to fire some rockets in it and anchor itself, but it sort of bounced across. And this thing's a washing machine-sized thing, but it weighs like 100 grams on this thing, so lack of gravity.
Yeah, right.
So it didn't take much to dislodge it, and it moved itself into it got stopped by a little cliff.
Right.
And the cliff's in shade.
Yep.
So the solar panels don't work.
Yep. And they've lost connection with it.
For like a day, and then oof, gone.
Yep. They did suggest that there is a very slim possibility that as it travels towards the sun, the shadows will move and some sunlight may fall on the panels and it might come back to life.
You never know. Mm. But either way, the photos...
But that's pretty awesome. When you
think about what they are...
Yep.
It's just... To me, it's just mind-boggling. Yeah.
The other part of it that's really interesting is how many lumens are there out there where that comet is, and what sort of ISO did they need to get that image? Because I'd imagine it's not as bright as down here. There's no sunny 16 up there.
Yeah.
You know, given the distance that it is from our sun.
But then how far away it is from the sun, though.
No.
If it's on the incline towards the sun, it could actually be closer. It could even be brighter.
I don't know enough about astronomy to know where it is, but I was under the impression it was a long way out.
Yeah, but a long way out is a subjective term. Is it a long way out towards the sun? The sun's a hell of a long way away.
Yeah. No, I thought it was away from the sun from the Earth's possible position, but I don't know for sure.
Bloody amazing. It's on a platform. So it doesn't matter how long the exposure needs to be.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
It could be a one-day exposure.
That's a good point.
It could be a one-day exposure if nothing's moving.
Yeah.
But it's just...
Man, although there's no star trails in the background, so I'm guessing.
The things we humans have done is just
awesome. Yeah,
remarkable. Yeah, I'm humbled.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And as everyone knows me, that's a frequent state I'm in.
Yes.
Why did it titter so? to see also this week, Kingston announced 256 megabyte SD cards. Sorry, gigabyte.
I was going to say, you've got megabytes there. I was going to say, geez.
Whoop-de-doo.
Everyone's going retro all of a sudden.
Gigabyte memory cards.
Wow. No, I hadn't seen that, but that is big.
14 photos from your DA801.
Yes. But you know what? I don't shoot with anything bigger than a 16 gig card.
Yeah, biggest I use is 32.
Right. Yeah, and I'll guarantee you're like me. You would prefer to spread your images across multiple cards? Or you just don't fill them up?
Theoretically, it's a great concept to be in. I'm far too lazy to follow that.
Because you shoot JPEG, so you've probably not even filled up a 32-gig card yet.
No, I did once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, I don't know, like 8 months.
Did you fall asleep on the shutter button?
I had like 8 months of events on it or something.
Yeah, right.
The... Other thing, getting back to our phone photography for once. Adam Davison sent through this thing called From Print Cases. Have you seen this?
I saw it. I didn't go and look at the link.
Yeah, it's a little case that connects to your phone and makes it basically an instant printer, which is pretty cool.
So it's like a Polaroid.
Pretty much. I'm imagining it's a Zinc printer. I didn't see what kind of process it was using.
Right.
But it's just darn cool.
What is a Zinc printer?
Zero ink.
Oh, okay.
When Polaroid stopped making Polaroid, they went into the Zinc process, which is Z-I-N-K is what it's called.
Yeah.
Which is, it's basically crystals that, as they're heated, change color and produce the colors in the photograph.
Right.
Okay. So it's almost like a thermal printer in some ways, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But as I said, it doesn't require any ink or any chemicals or anything else. But the quality is worse than even in a Polaroid. Yeah, I'm sure it's a technology that will develop.
Yep.
But yeah, so far, yeah, not so. But this thing is no Bluetooth, no Wi-Fi. It just connects into the base of your camera, and it turns your camera, it turns your phone into, and it looks like a camera now. The whole case,
yeah, right.
Big shutter button, the whole thing, and it kind of morphs your phone into something just a little bit more. It's another Kickstarter project.
Interesting.
That's a kind of a cool little gadget. You know how much I love me gadgets.
Yep. Did you see the Melbourne Hyperlapse that Carl Hemmings posted a link to?
I didn't get to see it. Is it good?
It is very good. I mean, you've probably seen some other hyperlapses. Like we spoke about the Barcelona hyperlapse, 10 episodes back. And this is a very similar execution, you know, slider technology, you know, camera moving on a dolly over a very long period of time and multiple images.
Go and have a beer.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing you and I would just not have the patience for, but it looks amazing. So
those who do that stuff, all power to them. But I wouldn't want to have a conversation with them.
Why is that?
Yes. Well, see, the runners we use for the slider, they're not the 17.3 gauge ones that you've seen on other people's sliders. These are the 56.49732 hypergliders. Now, the advantage of the 56.6932 hyperglider is its rotation now goes down to 16 frames per second. And that what that allows us to do is produce a smoother, more balanced roll. Now, the old ones, they're a little bit more jerky. You can see every 14 and a half frames, you can see a very slight movement. Now, the new ones, now you have to go at least 40 or 50 frames before you see even the slightest of movement.
Right, okay.
Do I need to elucidate?
I think we've got it.
No, I'm sure they're not. I'm sure not all of them are like that.
Grab the link that I sent you, Low to the Ground. This was a collection of images from Digital Photography School, which I liked. I usually find at least one collection of images for each episode of the podcast. There were some really interesting images here, but particularly right towards the end, there's a couple of shots that feature golfers. And
gophers?
No, not gophers, golfers. And the first one is awesome because I'm thinking someone was seriously in danger of getting their camera trashed by a golf ball.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the other ones as I go past. See, all these look like photos taken by my 6-year-old, 7-year-old. Right.
Well, the camel race one is good too.
There's a lot of photos, isn't
there? There are.
The camel race one is excellent. Yeah. So. Oh, that golf is pretty cool, isn't it?
That is great.
Wonder if it's real.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, the one with the guy just standing teeing up. That's not so. The one with the ball actually in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You think the ball was shopped in?
Yeah, can the ball shopped?
Okay.
It just doesn't look. The movement's wrong.
Why?
The shape of the movement is wrong.
Why?
So maybe that's an up and down vibration shake as opposed to a forward momentum.
Oh, which okay.
Should have. Mm-hmm. It should be the streak is wrong in the blur.
Yep.
So to me, it looks like some sort of motion blur in Photoshop or something. Mm. I'm sure that the background shot is obviously is real, but just look. I could be wrong. Yeah. It's just yeah.
If it, yeah, hard to know, but it's an impressive image.
It's a cool shot. Yeah, and let's face it, there's nothing wrong with Photoshop. So even if it is shopped, it doesn't matter. The shot's all cool. You know? So not saying that shopped, it's no good because he Photoshopped. There's nothing wrong with Photoshopping it.
No.
I just would never try and pass it off as real if it was me. I'd say...
If it was fake, yeah.
Yeah, I added that because it made it more interesting. You know?
Yeah.
But they do remind me very much of my children.
Oh, all right. Well, did you want to wrap it up?
Yeah. Look, I've got to go to bed.
Yeah. No, that's cool, matey.
Get on a plane.
Well, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. I'm sorry it was a short episode this week, and but we'll make up for next week and go shorter so we don't bore anyone too much.
Now, if you haven't as yet signed up for the Pass the Camera project, please do head on over to the Facebook group and request admission to the group, because I think we've got about 17 people at the moment. I'm thinking if we get to 18, maybe we'll let everyone take two images on a 36 roll.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, a practice one and a for real one.
There we go. So we'll take one more entrant and then we're going to get it up and running. So
there is a chance we might not have an episode next week either, by the way.
Oh, okay, because you're on the road?
I'm on the road. So it depends on your schedule, if you can do it later in the week, but we'll see.
Sure. Okay.
If not, people, it's Bruce's fault.
Beautiful. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.